Lord, we are here again to praise the beauty of holiness in the womb of the morning, Lord. Even in the beauties of holiness, the Lord commands the dew of youth for us this morning. And as we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, as we come into his courts with praise, let the name of the Lord be glorified this morning. Praise God. We're just going to praise the Lord a little bit today. Not a long room like yesterday, but it's going to be just to praise the Lord. We'll examine all of the amazing things that praise can do for us. And we'll exercise ourselves in praising the Lord. Praising the Lord is an amazing thing. The scriptures are full of praises. As a matter of fact, a lot of the Psalms are written just to praise the Lord, to glorify him, to magnify him, to exalt his name. You know, it was an amazing spirit that was upon David and the sons of Asaph and all the people that wrote the Psalms. It's an amazing spirit that was upon them. And David commanded, he commanded that people should praise the Lord. He commanded, you know, many blessings from the people to the Lord. David would say, now bless the Lord your God. You know, he wasn't asking the Lord to necessarily bless his people all the time. He would say that the people should bless the Lord. And when they blessed the Lord, everyone said, oh, he said, the Lord is good. And his mercy endureth forever. And the whole congregation would shout and they would praise the Lord. So we're going to examine the powers of praise, the wonders of praise, the amazing things that praise can do, both individually and especially corporately. My goodness. You know, we'll see some of the things that God has done, you know, through praises in that Bible. And we want to remind ourselves of these because, you know, I mean, people can pray. You know, you can tell people to come to a prayer meeting. They can pray for an hour, you know, long. They can speak in tongues for an hour. They can speak in tongues for hours. But if you say, you know, let's praise the Lord, you know, people get tired, you know, after just a few minutes. And I don't know why that's the case, because, you know, praise is what praise and worship is what we were created to do, you know. We were created to praise him for his pleasure. We are at his pleasure. And what is the thing that pleases him the most is praising the Lord and worshiping him. You know, so it's okay to pray, but we ought to praise the Lord even more. And that's something that is lacking sometimes, you know. And so we want to just take time out today on a day such as this, just to praise the Lord, just to worship him. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the room this morning. You know, we are going to get started right away. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus as we go here today, have an amazing time of praise and worship, personal praise and worship, and to understand, you know, what praise and worship can bring our way and how you can bring us into your presence. And Lord, may we experience some of your presence today through praise and through worship. We give you, Lord, glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone that's here with us. God bless you. Welcome and just enjoy. You know, I'm going to ask that people come to the stage during this session and come and give a testimony of praise, you know, testimony of praise. I'm going to just go through quickly some things in the scriptures. It's a powerful writing by a man of God that I will quote from as well. And then we'll just see how great things we can accomplish through praise. It's an amazing thing. You know, most of the time people say, well, yeah, I know I should praise the Lord, but do we actually do it or do we do it enough? That's the thing. You know, the one thing they do in heaven is praising the Lord all the time. You know, they don't stop night and day. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. You know, who was, who is, and who is to come. You know, I mean, they're just constantly going nonstop praising the Lord and worshiping Him. My goodness, if we can get some of that into our lives, you know, wouldn't that really be wonderful? You know, so praise opens the doors, opens many wonderful doors to us. Individual praise and even corporate praise. You know, in a group of people that gather together and really know how to praise the Lord, they can really accomplish some incredible things. You know, but, you know, that's something that's, you know, lacking sometimes. And even when we are praising the Lord, sometimes we're just going through the motions. People are just going through the motion. Praising the Lord is not something to be used as warming up. You know, we don't use it to warm up. No, but it is gives an entrance. It ministers an abundant entrance into the presence of God. Because that's what the Bible says. Say, come before His presence with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. You know, so it gives us an abundant entrance. You know, we're coming before the King. I mean, you don't just come casually. You come with praise. You come with, you know, singing. You come with even dancing, you know. And some people think that, oh, just praise the Lord means you just, you know, just praise the Lord in your mind. Well, there are many scriptures that say, shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. You know, that God wants to hear it. And if we are silent, well, who knows? You don't want the stones to cry out in your place, you know. So enter into His gates. It says in Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts. These things make an entrance, you know, for us. It creates a way. If there is no way, if the road is blocked and you begin to praise and to sing, well, it'll bring you into the presence of the King. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. So this is the reason why we do it sometimes. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Oh. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Glory to God. Enter into His gates, He said, with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting. You know, and His truth endureth to all generations. David gave commandment, you know, concerning how people ought to praise the Lord. You wonder why, you know, the Lord was attracted to this man and said, well, I'm going to, he's a man after my heart, and I am going to sit upon His throne forever. In the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 15. David gave commandment of how they ought to praise the Lord, you know, and throughout the generations, you know, they try to follow some of that. You know, David spake to the chief of the Levites, First Chronicles 15 and 16. David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint to their brethren. Now, this was the priests and so forth, but he said, look, you got to appoint your brethren to be the singers and instruments of music and psalteries and harp and cymbals, you know, sounding by lifting up the voice of joy. The voice, lift up your voice with joy. And so they began to appoint the best of the people that knew how to do these things. The people that knew how to praise the Lord. You know, there were some people, you know, you know, there were the household of this man called Herman, and Asaph and Ethan and many of them. And Asaph, you know, he wrote some of those psalms, and some of his songs wrote some of the psalms, and they knew how to praise the Lord, you know. And you know, God looked, always looked for those people that had the skills in praising the Lord. You know, the Bible even says that in this generation that God has called us to, you know, one of the greatest things that he wants us to do is in praising the Lord. You read that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. You know, this is a famous scripture that we all quote, but we forget what he says there. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I mean, this is the priesthood. This is the new priesthood. Is for us to show forth his praises. There's many different ways we do that. We do it verbally. We do it, you know, with our lives, you know, being an epistle read of all men. But, you know, but hey, we must not be silent. You know, David always said, look, I will make mention of the mercies of the Lord in the congregation. You know, I mean, he was always ready to go. You know, when people came in the house of the Lord or whatever, I mean, he was always ready with the praises of God, was always at the tip of his tongue. You know, let's look at what corporate praise did in the Bible. In the book of 2 Chronicles, you know, chapter 5. And in the, when all the priests and everything, you know, in building of the temple and all that good stuff, you know, they built, when Solomon built the temple, he assembled the congregation before the ark, he sacrificed, he did all of these things, you know, and they were, you know, getting ready to launch, if you will, you know, the temple that they had built, you know. And here's what it says in verse 11 of 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then at that time wait by course. In other words, they didn't take turns. They all went in at the same time. At that time, all of them were there. You know, used to be, well, later on, they took turns to go in and that they had shifts. This time around, all of them went in. You know, also the Levites, which were the singers, you know, and all of them of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, you know, which we saw in 1 Chronicles 15 that had been appointed. They all came. They were arrayed in white linen. They had cymbals and psalteries and harps. They stood at the east end of the altar with 120 priests. All of them were there at the same time, sounding with the trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. That's unified praise. It came to pass when they were doing that, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "But the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever." It came to pass that then, not before, but then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, to the extent that these priests could not even stand to minister, by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. And why did that happen? Well, it happened because the praise was so sweet in the ears of the Lord. And he came, you know, he came to get some of that. He come closer to get some of that. You know, Psalm 22 and verse 3 tells us that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Thou, O Lord, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. That's what he does. He just can't stay away when there's true praise. Not the praise that's just from the lips, but not from the heart. Jesus didn't care for any of that. Said these people with vain lips, they worship me and so forth, but not that. But when that praise is true from the heart, and you just have a kind of like an abandon, you just couldn't care about anything else. You just want to praise him. It brings incredible things to happen. The first thing it does is fill your heart with the presence of God and fill the room or wherever you are with the presence of God, because that thing just draws God in. The praises just draws him in like that. He can't stay away. He draws him in. Glory to God. Let's learn how to do his praise and do that praise. There's a story, many stories I'll tell from the Bible, and then I'm going to read a powerful writing about praise. The story of Jehoshaphat and the armies that came against him. Three kingdoms that came against Jehoshaphat, and they were completely outnumbered. A story in 2 Chronicles and verse 20. They were completely outnumbered. There was nothing they could do about it. Because they had, Mansia, Ammon, and all of these people, they just came. Moab, the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, the children of Mansia, they came up against him and they completely outnumbered. But as the story went, after the Lord encouraged them that he was going to fight for them through the word of prophecy, and Jehoshaphat began to worship. He began to worship once he heard the voice of, the voice of encouragement, once he heard the word of promise. The next thing he did is he began to worship. And there is a lesson in that for many of us today. When the Lord said to them, tomorrow go ye down to, he said to them, look, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 15. He said, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Tomorrow you go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle, but you set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord, which is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not and be not dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And then when Jehoshaphat heard that, the Bible says in verse 18 that he bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping. So that's a lesson for us. When God gives the word of promise, even before it comes to pass, we need to begin to worship. We need to begin to praise the beauty of holiness. All the people that were with him, the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and every one of them, they stood up and they began to praise the God of Israel with a loud voice on high. There's something about that. A loud voice on high. And then in the morning they rose up and they went to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, say, hey, look, where are all the best singers? The children of Haman, the children of, Asaph, and all these people, where are they at? When he had consulted with them, he appointed singers unto the Lord. He found the ones that could do the best job at it, that should praise the beauty of holiness. And he put them in front of the army. That's another lesson for all of us. You know, when we put our praises forth, it's like putting your best foot forward. You know, he put these people who were skilled in praising the Lord. They were skilled with instruments of music, tambourines and, you know, timbrels and all of these things. These people were skilled, cymbals and everything, clapping and hollering and making a loud noise of praise before the camp. You know, he put those in front of the army. Are you kidding? You're going for battle? You put people there dancing and singing in front of the battle? Yes, he did too. And, you know, when they began to sing, listen to this. And when they began to sing and to praise, not when they began to shoot arrows, you know, not when they began to, you know, set themselves in battle array. No, but when they began to sing and to praise, it came to pass that then the Lord set ambushments against their enemies, the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, and all that were come against Judah. And they were smitten, all of them, you know, and God put confusion in the camp of their enemies. Now, the three of them, the children of Ammon, you know, they colluded with the children of Moab. They went up against Mount Seir and destroyed it. And when they finished destroying Mount Seir, then they turned, you know, against, you know, each other and began to fight. You know, Moab now turned against Ammon and they began to fight themselves. And they destroyed, all of them destroyed one another. Wiped themselves out. You know, why? Because God said ambushments against them. Turned their hearts around. You know, they were in delusion. You know? You know, and they didn't know who their enemies were. You know, they were looking, they thought they were fighting Israel, but they didn't know they were fighting themselves. You know, God put a delusion upon them, delusionary spirit, you know, upon them. And all because of the high praises of the Lord that went before the camp, that went before the armies. It's amazing the things that praise can do. Glory to God. Praising the Lord is amazing. When Paul and Silas, in Acts chapter 16, when they were in prison, the Bible says that, you know, being in prison late at night, around midnight, they sang praises unto the Lord. And everybody heard them. You know, they didn't just sing quietly in their hearts or in their minds. They sang praises unto the Lord. And the next thing you know, the angel of the Lord came upon them and busted them out of jail, if you want to say, call it that way. He broke the bars and all the things that were holding them back, and they were ready to go. You know, they could have just walked out, you know, like that. You know, they were ready. The Lord had, you know, just set them free. He says in Acts 16, you know, and verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Well, prayer is one thing. Praises is yet another thing. You know, so when your prayer only goes so far, you need to kick it into high gear with praising the Lord, you know, and, but, you know, we find out that a lot of people know how to pray. We spend a whole lot of time in prayer, crying unto the Lord, God, do this, Lord, do that, and so forth. Moaning and groaning and travailing in prayer and interceding. And all of that is good. But look, if we spend half as much that time in praising the Lord or mingle the praises with those prayers, my goodness, we can get a whole lot more accomplished. While Paul and Silas were in prison at midnight, they prayed and they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. They were not silent about it too. And suddenly, oh my goodness. Yes, they could have been there complaining, grumbling, you know, about their situation and so forth. You know, they prayed. It's always good to pray. But, you know, they capped it up with praises. Prayer alone sometimes will not get the job done. But praising the Lord, when you get that praise in there, my goodness. And if you know how to work that praise, your prayer can do wonders. David was a man that knew how to do that. You know, he knew what to say that would cause God to stand up on his behalf. Why? Because he was always in the business of making the praises of God glorious. You know, he knew how to do that better than anybody else in that Bible. You know, he would say things that would make the Lord, I mean, come on. You know, let's look at Psalm 18. See how he prayed there. He said, look, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Right off the bat, he's telling the Lord that the Lord is his strength. He said, the Lord is my rock. He is my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my God. He's my strength, in whom I will trust. He's my buckler. He's the horn of my salvation. He's my high tower. I mean, he knew how to just say these things. He called out the glory of the Lord. You know, my goodness. You know, I mean, you call God out like that, he's going to stand up. Hallelujah. And when he began to call God like that, I say, I will call upon the Lord. You know, and he began to tell God these great things, how great the Lord is. You know, I mean, he would say things like, look, the Lord is my glory. He's the lifter of my head. He is my rock and my salvation. And he has become my song. I mean, he just would load God with all these praises. And look at how God responded. My goodness. He said, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. This is verse 6 of Psalm 18. And he heard my cry out of his temple, and my cry came before him, went into his ears. It wasn't just the prayer. It was mostly the praises, all these things that he put forward. And tell God how great God is and so forth, you know. And then listen to how God responded. Then the earth shook and trembled. My goodness. The foundations also of the hills were moved and were shaking. You know. And I often ask people, I say, can your prayer do this? Well, maybe if you mingle it with enough praises, you know. And God was wrath. That went out a smoke out of his nostrils, fire out of his mouth. Coals were, you know, I mean, my goodness. Fire from his mouth devoured coals. I mean, fire from his mouth devoured. Sorry. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also. He came down. I mean, can your prayer make God come down from the heavens? Can you do it? Well, if you know how to walk that praise, like David did, you know, if you know how to do it, you know, you can cause God to do all these things too. He said, you know, a brightness went out before him and all of this is the Lord thundered from the heavens. You know, Most High gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. I mean, look at all the activity that went out. God sent out arrows. God sent out lightnings. And all these things, even channels of waters broke for foundation of the world are discovered, are broken up. You know, this man's prayer, I mean, he can get that job done. I mean, he can create a riot in the heavens, you know, because he knew how to make things happen. My goodness. You know, when, if you know how to cross that line in praising the Lord, God's going to stand up. He is going to stand up. He will stand up and he will respond. And he responded in mighty ways to David because David knew how to make his praise glorious. He said, the Lord brought me also forth out of, you know, into a large place. He delighted, you know, he delivered me because he delighted in me. Why did he delight in him? You know. Why did he delight in him? Delight thyself in the Lord thy God. Psalm 37. How? In praising the Lord. You know, in walking upright before him. And in saying his praises. Not, you know, we don't want to be saying we're praising the Lord. And then, you know, praising the Lord with vain lips means, you know, we're praising the Lord with our mouth. But our lives are not reflecting the same. That's not going to work. But if you put forth those praises and you back it up with a life of integrity and uprightness before the Lord, my goodness, you can accomplish so much, you know, in the presence of God through praising the Lord. On and on and on, we can go on. In the book of Revelation, we see all the things that are happening. They don't stop. They're just going nonstop all day long. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You know, the heaven and earth and so forth, full of his glory. Thou art who, I mean, the Lord Almighty who was, who is to come. This is all they say, you know, in his presence. That's what they do. When Isaiah saw his glory in the temple in Isaiah chapter 6, you know, that's what they were saying too. Holy, holy, holy. The seraphims, all of them, just praising the Lord. You know, my goodness. You know, the praises of the Lord can accomplish so much. You know, let me read a few things out of the writing of Neil Frisbee. It was a powerful man of God. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But he wrote this thing. He says, this is a dynamic subject of praise. The rewarder of youth. My goodness. So praise can even reward your youth. Wow. You know, read it in Psalm 110 and verse 3. He says, when you are in the beauties of holiness, in the wombs of the morning, that's when the Lord commands the dew of youth upon you. You know, so it's scriptural. It is the secret place of thunder wherein the Lord answers back. You know, Psalm 81 and verse 7 tells you that, you know, when you are praying, the Lord is going to answer you back in a special way. Well, it's not every kind of prayer that gets him to do that. We just talked about it. It is the kind of prayer, there's a kind of prayer that moves him. You know, he said, look, when you call in trouble, I'll deliver thee. I answer thee in the secret place of thunder. Well, if you know how to get those praises mingled into your prayer, you will get that kind of result as well. By praising him, you will receive honey out of the rock, satisfying your soul, giving you a healthy body. Whoa. Praise will drive out infirm spirits and will loosen the bones. Heart trouble will not overcome you. And should you have it, it will leave you. That's all by praising the Lord. Praising the Lord continually will make the heart to be happy and the body will be joyful in health. Your eyes will sparkle and your vision will be plainer. By eating lightly, that's important, eating lightly and praising the Lord will intensify these things even more. He says, even the dullness of ears shall hear sharply when you are praising the Lord. Listen to this. Even your complexion. Glory to God. I love that. Even your complexion, your hair, and your lips shall take on a beautiful glow when you are in his presence. Remember Moses, when he was in his presence, he came back like that and his face, everything was shiny, was lit up, you know? Yeah, did that too. He said, look, praising the Lord in intervals will drive back all demon powers from you, you know, and you will be able to rest peaceably. My goodness. By praising him often, you will be covered with a bright Shekinah glory. Ah, well, Psalm 22 verse 3 says it, you know, and anywhere the Lord goes, he comes with that glory. You know, when you are praising him, you are attracting his presence. He inhabits the praises of his people. So when he comes around you, the glory, the Shekinah glory of the Lord will be around you because you are a man, a woman that knows how to praise the Lord. Whether you can see it all the time or not, that glory, you begin to feel the presence of his glory, the weight of his glory. You will feel it, you know, and demons cannot break through that kind of covering very easily. as long as you praise the Lord in confidence. Wow. Praising renews the youth. It gives strength. It gives faith and allows the Holy Spirit to speak. Have you noticed that when a group begins to really praise the Lord, and when you yourself begin to really praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. That's exactly right. You know, praise exalts the Most High and allows His Spirit to flow through us, providing a ministry for each of us according as the Spirit wills it. That's right. Also, even prosperity, you know, is as close as your lips if you know how to continually praise the Lord. No matter what confronts you, He said you will win. Even a kingly anointing will be present. My goodness. You know, does He not say in the scriptures that the mountains and hills shall break forth before you into singing? I mean, listen to this. A person that has the high praises of God in his mouth shall receive knowledge and wisdom, guiding him in his daily affairs and giving him many spiritual highlights in his life. I'm going to ask you to come in, you know, in a bit when I'm done with this reading, and come and give testimony to the power of praise in your own life. You know, the one who humbles himself in praising the Lord will be anointed above his brethren. He shall feel and walk like a king. Spiritually speaking, the ground will sing under him, and a cloud of love will engulf him. Oh. He shall feel the Lord's hand on his back and on his head, and he shall be comforted by the Most High. Why are there such secrets in praise? Because this is why we were created, is to praise the Lord. The Lord did not create us just to continually ask for things. Well, that's good, but that's secondary. We were made to praise Him. When we get into the rhythm of praise, my goodness, we will feel the sweetness of His presence, and He will reveal unto us the most secret things. Hallelujah. Even for days to come afterwards, you know, you have experiences. I have experiences, but we need to do it more often. We need to practice it all the time. When you get into that rhythm of praise, God begin to tell you things, begin to show you things. It's amazing. You know, because you are now connected to the source, the bridge is praising Him, the spirit of worship. That's a bridge. My goodness. Look, I mean, listen to this. He says that David said, by praising the Lord and being patient, you know, he was relieved of all his troubles. You know, we read that already in Psalm 18. You can read also in Psalm 40 how he waited patiently for the Lord. And listen to this point blank prophetic utterance. Say, behold, saith the Lord Almighty, praise is the guardian of the soul and the protector of thy body. Oof. Praise is the guardian of your soul and the protector of your body. By praising the Lord early in the morning. We read that already in Psalm 110. You know, the womb of the morning. If by praising the Lord early in the morning and late at night in the evening, you will find that He will answer you and give you rest. Some of David's writings, Psalm 103, who forgiveth all thine iniquity. Say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He would command his soul. You know, he said, look, why thou cast down within me? Praise the name of the Lord. Come on, soul. Praise the Lord in here. You know, praise the Lord up on him here, you know, and he will praise the Lord. He'll say, look, I will yet praise him for the glory, his glory and the light of his countenance. I will hope, I will praise him. I mean, David knew how to get his soul going. Even when his soul was cast down, he would turn it, he would switch that to praising the Lord. Say, look, Psalm 42, why art thou cast down within me, O my soul? You know, why art thou disquieted within me? I will yet praise him, my glory. And the lift out of my head he is, you know, and he knew how to praise him, you know, He said, when my soul is cast down, you know, then I'm going to remember the Lord and I know how to praise him. Glory to God. You know, it talks about deep calling unto the deep. Well, what are those deeps? You can bring out the sweetness of his presence by going deep in praises. That's how you do it. You know, that's how you do it. You know, if you haven't experienced or if you have experienced trickles of it, you know, do it more and you will be overwhelmed by his presence. Glory to God. Praising the Lord renews your strength and your youth and it'll make you to rise up like an eagle high in spirit. David said by praising the Lord, he said, look, the Lord will also, redeem my life from destruction. You know, he will satisfy my mouth with good things, you know, renew my youth like the goose. All by praising the Lord, Psalm 103 verses 1 to 5. All of these blessings are by praising the Lord. He said, look, and when your days feel like the shadow that declineth, the days when you are so saddened and, you know, down in your heart and your spirit, like David here, I say, my soul is disquieted within me. You know, I went with those that sang praises, you know, I went with those that kept holy day to the house of God, but inside my heart, I was heavy. Read all of Psalms 42. You'll see there. But he says, look, I will turn around and begin to praise the Lord. He said, when your spirit feels like you're downcasted, you have nothing going on, based like the days of darkness when God is silent. If there were days of light when you were, you know, hollering and you are on top of the mountain. And you had incredible strength. It looks like you can take on the world, you know, and nothing could stop you. Then the next thing you know, there are some days that looks like you're down in the doldrums and nothing is going on. David said, look, in those days, I commanded my spirit. You know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Listen to Psalm 102. He talks about, you know, all the things that can, you know, make you feel so down. Psalm 102 said, look, verse 6, say, I am like a pelican in the wilderness. I feel like an owl in the desert. Just, I feel all alone and so forth. You know, all of these things, you know, I'm a sparrow alone on the housetop. You know, my enemies reproach me all day long. You know, and all of these things, you know. He said, my days, verse 11, feel like the shadow. This is what this writing is talking about. My days feel like a shadow that declineth. I am withered as the grass. You know, now, when you are in such a situation, what you need to do is what David did. You know, David in the story of Ziklag, which we covered in this room last week, you know, in Psalm, you know, 1 Samuel 30:6, when the people talked of stoning him and he was distressed and everything, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. He said, look, I will yet praise him. Why thou cast down, O my soul? Why thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, because he is the health of my countenance, and he is my God. You got to encourage yourself. You got to speak to your soul. You know, Habakkuk said, look, though the fig tree does not blossom, you know, though there be everything be cut off from the vine and there is, you know, chaos everywhere and he's not going to, looks like he's bankrupt. You know, he said, look, when all these things happen, when the fields yield no meat, when the flocks are cut off from the fold, you know, when they, you know, there's no herd in the stalls and everything. He says, Habakkuk 3:16-17. I mean, this is verse 17. He said in verse 18, yet will I rejoice in the Lord and I will joy in the God of my salvation. Somebody ought to praise the Lord here. That power of praise, you know, because the Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds feet. He will cause me to walk upon my high places again. Hallelujah. I put the again there. So if, you know, if it seems as if you've been cast down, look, getting the joy of the Lord, getting the praises of the Lord. It's easy to praise the Lord when everything is good. But if you can practice how to praise him when your soul is cast down, you can draw, you know, My goodness. Isaiah 26, it's verse 3, says, Lord, with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. You can draw it out. You know, even when it seems like it's not there, you can draw it out through praising the Lord. My goodness, it's so powerful. Ah, David said, the Lord spread a cloud over him. You know, my goodness. And there's a cloud that will come upon you and fire over you too when you know how to praise the Lord. You know, even the enemies of the Lord, your enemies who like to prowl around in the darkness, they cannot break through that fire. Remember, even in physical things, you go out camping, people will create a fire, you know, campfire around them. Keep even the toughest animals away, even lions. The lion, the king of the jungle, he doesn't fear anything. Nothing will keep him back, but that fire will keep him back. Glory to God. You build that fire, that hedge around you by the glory and presence of the Lord through praising the Lord. Remember Psalm 22 and verse 3. That's how, you know, that's what draws his presence. By praising the Lord, you will enter into the center of his will for your life. He will guide you daily like the light of the sun. And even in the dark places, it will be for you as clear as the moon. My goodness. He will lead you in new paths, and his revelations shall dwell with you along the way. Just by praising the Lord. Praising is the wine of the Spirit, revealing hidden revelations. It will illuminate your mind, and it give you understanding how to know the purpose of God for your life. Praise will exalt the horn of your ministry. That's right. Praise the Lord. You know, it's so amazing, the power of praise. You know, the Lord talked about it, you know, in many, many Psalms. I mean, the psalmist, he brought it out in many places. You know, I mean, let's take a look. Let me digress a little bit quickly here and take a look at Psalm 149. Of course, many of those Psalms, it was about praising the Lord, you know, and all that. You know, many of those Psalms. But let's read quickly here, a few ones here. Praise the Lord, you know, in Psalm 109, it said, praise the Lord. But before I get that, let me read the last verse of Psalm 148. It said, he exalted the horn of his people. The praise of his saints, you know, praise, you know, that's something that causes, we just read it here, causes your horn to be exalted. Praising the Lord, you know, causes your horn to be exalted. Listen, you know, Psalm 149, verses 5 and 6, say, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them even sing aloud upon their beds. Oh, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. My goodness. And then a sharp two-edged sword in their hands. First, you got the high praises going, just like Jehoshaphat. Then you come behind that with a sharp two-edged sword. You execute judgment and vengeance upon, you know, demon powers and so forth. But you lead off with praising the Lord. You know, praising the Lord is how you lead off. Isn't that beautiful? You know, by praising the Lord, we have all these benefits. You know, when you praise the Lord, even the angels will surround you. That's right. Because, you know, angels, they are part of his entourage. And if Psalm 22 verse 3 says God is drawn to the praise of the Lord, you know, the angels are also drawn. They'll be around you. You know, the Lord says that, you know, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear the Lord, you know, and that praising will bring him. They bring the glory of the Lord closer. We have all this joyfulness in praising the Lord. You know, by praising the Lord, you will also respect others and talk much less about them as the Lord delivers you in satisfaction. You should read the Psalms daily and add your own praise unto him. You know, David, concerning him, the Lord said, this was a man after my own heart. Why? Because of all these things that we just read about David. How he knew, David has his shortcomings. I mean, yeah, we know, you know, the story of, you know, the wickedness of his heart, you know, concerning the story of, you know, Bathsheba and all that, and Uriah. We know that, but he repented, you know, and most people, you know, they, you know, that's all they want to talk about David. God did, you know, God took care of it. He was punished for it. Yeah, but God took care of it. But in God's heart, David still holds our place. That's right. And David chose, I mean, the Lord chose David's throne, not anybody else's. He chose David's throne. And I will sit upon that throne. And the Lord even chose to be called the son of David. My goodness. You know, and why is it that the Lord chose David's throne to sit upon it? Think about it. You know, David was the man that commanded people how to praise the Lord. David was the man that commanded the sons of Asaph and the sons of Haman and all these people on how to praise the Lord, how to get instruments of praise and everything. You know, well, you know, the Lord chose this man's throne to sit upon. You know, he chose to come through this man's loins as the bright and morning star and as the Lion of Judah. He did all of these things because when we surround David's throne, you will be praising the Lord. David's going to make sure of it. So, you know, there is no other place that God would choose, because David was the man that's going to make sure that everybody are praising the Lord. He's going to make sure of it. You know, so Lord's going to set upon his throne because that throne is a throne that's surrounded by praising the Lord. My goodness. All of this from praising the Lord and all the blessings. David said in Psalm 34, said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Now that's at all times. You know, that's not only when we are up. No, when we are up, when we are down, I will bless the Lord at all times. And singing praises of God is a form of, you know, the blessing the Lord that can actually get us in there. And shouting his victory and all that. You know, we know what the Lord, you know, there are many, many times, you know, in this Bible, you know, that the Lord, you know, used the glory and the praise. You know, the walls of Jericho came down through shouting the victory, shouting the praise of the Lord. You know, and let me read, you know, what praises can do. Well, you know, when people get together, there's personal praise and there's corporate praise. I already talked about that, but let me read just one verse here for you from Ezra, Ezra chapter 3. And let me read, I think verse 11 is what it is. You know, yeah, Ezra 3 and 11. You know, well, let me go a little bit before that. You know, let me read verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, then they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites of the sons of Asaph, remember what David commanded in 1 Chronicles 15. They did that, you know, set them in array to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, the king of Israel. This was something that David put down and people were following it. This is why the Lord is going to sit on David's throne. Because when you are around that throne, you will still be praising the Lord. You know, and they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. They said, because the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. Well, put your name there, you know, and all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. And then, you know, I mean, great thing. They were just praising the Lord. Why? Because God did something new in their generation. You know, the foundation of the house of the Lord was restored. And they began to praise the Lord. They began to shout. You know, the Bible says many of the priests and Levites and the chief of the fathers, the ancient men, when they saw they had seen the first house. You know, some of those that were there. When they now saw this new foundation being laid in their eyes because they thought it would never happen again, they wept with a loud voice and they shouted aloud for joy. You know, my goodness. I mean, the people could not even tell, you know, whether it was the shout of joy or the noise of weeping, because people were crying with a loud voice. The noise was heard afar off. It was not a crying of sorrow, folks. It was a crying of joy. Oh, when God brings back, you know, even the glory of former days and adds on top of it new things for you, will you shout his praise? Will you give glory to God? Ha, can you let the praises of God ring out, you know, in your heart, in your house, You know, do you have an altar of worship and prayer and praise? You know, let's get praise back into that altar of prayer. Hallelujah. That's where I'm going this morning. We all know how to pray, but let's get some praise in there. You know, get some praise in there. The spirit of prayer is fine, but once you praise the Lord more often than just pray. Praising the Lord creates more faith, and the answer is quicker in coming. Praising is a dimension that's unknown by most people. I mean, it's a dimension wherein the Lord moves and hurls, you know, and the feeling of a spirit, you know, occurs. He says, look, a group that's praising the Lord constantly will cause a revival to break forth around it. I have experienced that when I was a young man. It will even turn into a dimension of prophecy. The dimension of healing and miracles will begin to ignite. Demons will cry out. My goodness. They will cry out, you know, healing, miracles will begin to ignite. You know, fear and nervousness will travel far from thee as fast as light. Tongues and interpretation will take on a new dimension. You know, when the group begins to praise the Lord, I tell you, I have experienced this one time in my life when I was a young man. You know, the group where I was, we were always praising the Lord. I mean, and you know, people know how to praise the Lord, you know, back in my country where I come from. You know, they can praise, we can sing one song of praise for just one song for an hour, just one song, you know. One song for an hour, just praising the Lord. I mean, you see people drenched in sweat. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? They praise the Lord, they're jumping up and down, you know, and then the next thing you know, here comes the glory of the Lord. The weight of his glory begin to fall. You know, I came into this country for the first time with my family in 1983, and I went, you know, I went to services somewhere, you know, and we went in and out of there. The whole service was finished in 1 hour. The whole service. And I'm like, what? You know, we would still be singing and shouting the praises of the Lord for 1 hour. You know, the whole place, you know, will be like, I mean, just wired up, fired up, you know. I mean, when you leave that place after a service, in one of those praise and worship services in Africa, you will know that you've been to church. Not this lukewarm stuff that people just stand around here. You know, no. Fired up, praising the Lord. You will know that you have been in the presence of God, and it will be with you for days. You know, you can sing one song of praise for an hour. And there was never any consciousness of time. It was just like, look, you got into it. You got into it. You are in the wheels of praise. It was just spinning like that. And the next thing you know, I was in a group praising the Lord like that when I was in, you know, high school, or maybe 1 year after high school, which might equate to junior college here. And as we began to praise the beauty of holiness, the students began to come and line up outside the room where we were. As we were praising the Lord, everybody, you know, students began to come because we were just praising, jumping up and down and, you know, doing things. And they were looking through the glass, the corridor. And I was like, what in the world are these people doing? What's gotten into them? You know, and we would just be praising the Lord because we were doing it right on campus. You know, and they would come, they would just stand outside. Some of them would be mocking and everything like that. And then as the praise got deeper and deeper and deeper, the next thing you know, here comes the glory of the Lord. And when he comes like that, spinning like that, the cloudy pillar and the fire, when he comes like that and settles down right there in that room, oh my goodness. And people caught it on camera, you know, and then they would just one by one, every one of those students are lined up outside that building, mocking one by one, each time that pillar of fire appeared. And that pillar of fire appeared when we got the praise just right. Once we got it just right, that pillar of fire comes like that. The next thing you know, all those people that was there just a minute ago, mocking and saying whatever they were saying, they will be coming inside. Nobody stopped to preach to them. They would just be coming inside the room, falling down, crying for help and asking God to have mercy upon them. And the next thing you know, deliverance, you know, the thing, you know, and we would just leave them, continue what we were saying. And there was a deliverance, you know, session without anybody even trying to deliver those people. Deliverance would be going on and we were just praising the Lord. Nobody even did anything. We just stay there praising the Lord, and these people come down crying out. Demons will start jumping out. Some of them right there and then, that were just a few minutes ago mocking, begin to ask for forgiveness. You know, God begin to even preach to them. Nobody even did anything. You know, the Holy Spirit begin to convict them. You know, and then the next thing you know, they're asking for forgiveness. They're asking for deliverance. God begins to set them free. Nobody even needed to lay hands on anybody. You know, and then they will just cry out. Some of them will begin to receive salvation right there, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit right there and then, began to speak in tongues. Some of them even start to prophesy. People who were just mocking just 5 minutes ago, you know, and my goodness, and it happened time after time after time after time until a revival swept almost the whole campus. All because of praising the Lord, you know. You know, I don't know. These days, I have not experienced anything like it for many, many years. But if you can get the group, and at that time, nobody cared about anything other than just to praise the Lord. Nobody cared about titles. You know, nobody cared whether you are called pastor, prophet, or this or that. It didn't matter. We were just young folks. All we wanted was getting the presence of God. And you couldn't wait. When the service closed, nobody wanted to go home. Nobody. They just stayed right there, you know, because of the presence of the Lord. And nobody could wait to get in there next time. And there was a fire in the hearts of the people. And the next thing you know, revival broke out in that place like no man's business. All started by constantly praising the Lord. We would just come in there and began to praise the Lord, praising the Lord, praising the Lord, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Not so much, it wasn't so much a prayer meeting. It was just a praising the Lord meeting. Just praising the Lord. Just praising the Lord. And once we're able to get the praise just right, once it becomes unified like that, you know, that's what it says in 2 Chronicles 5. When I have made all the praises of God to be like one, as one sound in praising the Lord, then the glory of the Lord descended. And it was true. We didn't even have to minister. People would just come in and start falling down, crying out to God. This is the power of praise. You know, praise the Lord for what he has already done. Enter this way into God's presence. Every time that you come into his presence, just praise him for what he has already done. You know, tell him the act, you know, when you do this, it's so important. Important in the art of faith. And praise is the praise and thanksgiving. That's so important. I call it the dynamic duo. You got your faith walking on one side, but then you can turbo boost it with praising the Lord. My goodness. When you combine those two things together, they are a dynamic duo of unstoppable force. You know, it's like a dynamo of spiritual fire. I mean, you are walking on coals of fire then. God is answering you in the place of thunder. Well, all right. This was a prayer fire room after all. So I'm trying to get some fire into the hearts of the people. But this today, it's about praising the Lord. You know, it's not about praying for an hour in the tongues and so forth. That's good too. But most of the time, you know, if we can switch that to praising the Lord, my goodness, you know, and a lot of speaking in tongues when they were first baptized with the Holy Ghost in the Acts of the Apostles, a lot of them were declaring the wonderful works of God. That's what they were saying in tongues. They were not just read all the accounts, you know, they would declare the marvelous works of God with their speaking in tongues. And people would come and say, my goodness, on the day of Pentecost, say, you know, we hear these people declaring all the marvelous works of God, you know. That's what it's all about. Just declaring his marvelous works, just praising the Lord and all of that and so forth. You know, if you know how to really do that, it's called the ephod of praise. If you know how to put that on, my goodness, the Bible calls it garment of praise. He said, look, let God trade, trade in your mourning and all of these things. Trade them in for the garment of praise, the anointing of the oil of gladness. You know, that's what the Lord brings into our lives through praises. And every time that we can, think of it, if you know how to do that yourself, just you as an individual, it's so powerful. But then think of it, if you can get one or two or three or more people to do that, it becomes like an incredible force. It's so powerful that it begins to draw people in, because before even anybody is praying, it's drawing them in, Listen to this in Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. Sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And listen to verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty in place of ashes, to give them the oil of joy and the garment of praise, to replace the spirit of heaviness. So this is the antidote to heaviness. Just like David, when his spirit was heavy and cast down within him, the antidote is to switch it into the gear of praise. And the Lord does all of that so that we might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Well, that's it this morning, folks. So let's do it. Let's praise the Lord some.